Revelation chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Our Lord Jesus appears in this vision resembling the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. As we approach the end of the Holy Scriptures, the words told to Philip by the Lord Jesus in John 14:9 are visible more and more. The owner of the universe has power to control all. None of us believing in Him will suffer more or less than what is appointed to us by Him. All He has appointed for us is our opportunity to honor the Lord, to share His abundant grace with one another, and to reach out to the sinners with His gospel. All that we suffer in His name under His Spirit's guidance is changing us to be more like Him and more separated from the world of sin and darkness. None of us shall live in this world for a moment longer or shorter than the time He appointed. None of sinners will ever escape His judgment. None will be judged less than justly. And all that come to Him are received in mercy and with grace. Christ is the Lord of Lords, the supreme ruler. By grace we are saved in Him. In sin we are only lost. Verse 19. John is commanded to write what he has seen pertaining to the present time and the visions foretelling the future. John already recorded in the verses 12 through 18 what he has seen and heard till this moment. God is the one changeless forever. His glory is forever excelling. His genuine people on earth are always in need of His guidance, protection, and correction. The mission God is giving to His people, He can change in some or many details. He keeps us in His grace, or we return to sin. I perceive that the value of this book is in the Father's revealing His Son in power and glory, cultivating all that is His Son's in His people, and rebuking all that is not His sons among His people. Thus He is helping us to be His faithful ones till His return. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars visible in Christ's right hand and the seven golden candlesticks John did see is the vision revealing the angels of the seven churches and the churches in their reality, known by the Almighty Omniscient God. To the unbelieving, the churches are a mystery beyond the horizon of their darkened understanding. To the saved, the Church of Christ is a revelation, an object of God's amazing grace in Christ. Church is here to declare God's mercy and judgment. Since the beginning, grace is God's gift to man. Since the fall of man, sin is separating man from God. Since the beginning, the Redeemer brings the only ransom for the sinners. The ransomed people are the Church of God in the world. The angels are messengers God sent with a message. Some messengers were heavenly beings. God's faithful prophets were messengers declaring God's words. The faithful priests in Israel were messengers appointed to declare God's holy law. Who are the angels of the seven churches? In the two following chapters, every message to an angel is sent to his church. In Matthew 28:19 and in Mark 16:15, the Lord Jesus is sending his messengers to every person and unto every nation. Every disciple is a messenger of the great King of Kings. Some messages are for the local fellow believers, others for the believers in a group at a certain time, and some other messages are for all readers and listeners until the end. A man is a messenger. Man's way of living is a message to all around. A local fellowship of faithful messengers is a corporate messenger. Christ's faithful church in this world of darkness spreads the message of light, salvation, and the everlasting life. Our Savior is our message. Perhaps the believers in the seven churches could have been inclined to take their message lightly if it was addressed to, quote, all of them, unquote. When the Spirit speaks earnestly as to one individual person, not leaving anyone excused, we sense more urgency in that message. How much Satan is laboring to dysfunction the church could give us an impression these days that he is more aware of Christ's power in the gospel than any nominal church. Seeing this deadness, we must labor more prayerfully to be Christ's voice. I have seen some groups nowadays that seemed to function in a beautiful accord, like one person, one body. All the wisdom, authority, and directives were received from one leader, elder, founder. That brotherhood usually had peace and serenity. The members gave me an impression of fear from the outside world and distrust as a predisposition toward any other group of Christians from any other location. They had no desire to learn whether another fellowship was led and owned by the Lord Jesus Christ or not. If some member dared to question any decision of the leader, that member was marked as a rebel, heretic, or an enemy, and targeted with serious accusations that no other member should question or investigate. Their leader suddenly died. The fellowship fell apart. That was not the Gospel Church of Christ. It was a man-made religion. Their faith and confidence was based on their leader's craftiness. The mark of Christ's church we see in Acts 1:14. The Spirit works in the chapter 2. An experienced church is operating in the chapter 13 in the Acts. These are the models of real Christian fellowships. Every brother and sister is encouraged to grow in faith and knowledge of the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, and use His gifts to glorify Him. The genuine church is a candlestick of gold, exalting the source of her light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. He alone has built His church upon the rock of ages cleft for us. He filled her with His Holy Spirit to spread His light in His love. In this book, the chapters 2 and 3 are going to show us how the evil spirit is at war against the churches. The Acts and the Epistles are arming us to resist the enemy cleaving to our Master and upholding His teaching in our daily walk and outreach. As long as there are genuine disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is going to fight against the Church of Christ. As long as God's people trust and obey the Lord, they will experience His victory over the enemy. God may allow cruel persecution. In patient suffering, Christ is victorious against the cruelty and fury of Satan. Our Savior suffered more than His entire flock. He is teaching us not to fear His enemy that might be allowed to destroy our body, but cannot take our soul from our Lord. In the periods of calm and material prosperity, our Lord is victorious in modesty of His humble children that despise vanity and pride of the world, seeking the inner adornment of our Shepherd's spirit. Christ's Church is beautiful, pure, and holy. The Church of Christ always has room for growing toward perfection manifested in our Redeemer's example and teaching. Our Lord and Savior constantly labors preparing His bride for the splendor of the glorious wedding feast in eternal love. When we understand the message in the verses 3 through 8, keep that awareness in our mind and heart, and live that gospel every day of our pilgrimage. We have Christ's mighty armor against the enemy and fellowship with John and all Christ's faithful disciples and servants of the gospel. Suffering in godliness is a part of our ministry. Visible to human eyes, some suffer more, some less. But that observation is not the most important one. Only Christ knows how much each one of His own suffers, for His Spirit is suffering within us. His Spirit is guarding us from wasting our time in suffering for vanity, pride, lust of the flesh, and lust of eyes. He is guiding us to use all our time and all opportunities He is providing for us to glorify our Lord Jesus, bless one another, and to witness, to reach out to the others around us. When we live in Christ by His Spirit ruling in our heart, we are in His kingdom. He makes us His lords when we adore Him, striving and praying for full obedience to Him as to our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings. That is His kingdom and His victory. John was in Patmos. Any place in the world our Lord appointed for us is the place of His revelation and of our testimony. Nothing is incidental or accidental in the life of our Father's family in heaven or in this world. We are always in His loving care. Let us continue in prayer to listen to the voice from above and to keep turning to the source of that voice. Let us never forget our place on the golden light stand, spreading His light in the world of darkness, living His gospel of salvation in Christ, heralding the day of judgment, proclaiming the day of grace, witnessing by His word and our daily walk in godliness. We live in Christ, and Christ is in our hearts. This blessed journey of His redeemed ones is filled with His unfolding revelation. Let us see Him in glory to experience His victory in us and through us. Let us be His messengers in words and deeds. Let us see all the present time and the eternal future through his eyes of flame in justice and mercy, judgment and salvation. Seven churches might be in seven regions and in seven periods of time. As the seven spirits are but one Holy Spirit, so the true Church of Christ is one, since Abel the righteous and forever. For there is but one Lord of Lords, our King and Savior.